Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks that you have given us these stories and these words to help us understand who you are and how great your love is for us. As we come to your story again today, we pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts so that we might believe a little more that you are for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, I'm back again to share part three of this sermon series that we have been doing called To Be Continued in the Final Appearances of Jesus After the Resurrection. You can go back and listen to part two from last week on our YouTube channel or podcast. But thanks to some COVID, here I am again. So when Jesus was put to death on that cross and his disciples saw that large stone rolled in front of the tomb, well, they thought that was it. They thought that was it. Their teacher was dead, their community disrupted, and the fate of their message of hope sealed in that tomb with Jesus. But God's story was bigger than they could understand. God's story was still being worked out and is still being worked out. God's story is to be continued. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his community, his followers, so that they could see, so they could know, so that they could experience that God wasn't finished yet. Jesus appeared first to Mary in the garden outside of that tomb, and then in the upper room to Thomas and the disciples. And then again, one final time before Jesus would return to the Father, his work of reconciliation on earth finished, Jesus appeared one more time. This third and final time that Jesus appears to the disciples is one of my favorites, not just of the appearances, but of the stories we have of Jesus in the scriptures, because it happens in the best of places, the lakeshore. Jesus does only the best things on the lakeshore. Some of the disciples, they were out on the Sea of Tiberias. They were fishing. Peter was there, and Thomas was too, and a few others with them. And they'd fished all night, and they caught nothing. Then, just as dawn was breaking, someone called out to them from the shore, "Do you have any fish?" They said, "No." And the voice from the shore says, "Try the other side. You'll find some." Sure enough, they put their nets down on the other side of the boat, and there were more fish than they knew what to do with. They couldn't believe their luck. Then John, one of the disciples on the boat, said, "It is the Lord." Talking about that person on the shore that was calling to them, John said, "It is the Lord." And Peter, Simon Peter, who was with them, he was overcome with, whether it was curiosity or excitement, he jumped out of that boat and he swam all the way to the lakeshore to see if it was really true. In all the other appearances we have earlier in John's gospel, Jesus is recognized when he says to the group, "Peace be with you." But this time, we see Jesus doing something else that is very familiar. He invites the disciples to get out of that boat and to sit down and to share a meal. They cook some of those fish that were brought in on that haul. They cook them over hot coals, and Jesus breaks bread. And somehow this community, this sacred community, is regathered as they come together around food in the presence of God. And that's where our story picks up today in John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 15 through 17 and 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because it was the third time he was asking him, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And after he said this to him, he said, "Follow me." I don't think there's anyone who needed a to-be-continued story more than Peter. If you remember that night that Jesus was arrested, Peter didn't stand by Jesus the way that he thought he always would. When things started to get a little real for the disciples, when the cost of following Jesus started to look more like getting arrested and put on trial, well, Peter, instead of standing with Jesus, denied him. Denied being his student, denied knowing him at all. Peter had three separate chances to change his mind. To turn back, to admit that he knew all about Jesus, and not only did he know him, he believed in him and believed in this message that he was sharing. But three different times he chose no. And Jesus knew he would do this. Jesus told Peter, "Before the end of the night, before you hear that rooster, you'll deny me three times." And when, sure enough, Peter did that third time say no to even knowing who Jesus was, he broke down and wept, full of shame and regret and embarrassment, I'm sure. And then we have this scene on the beach after everything that has happened to Jesus and to the disciples. We have this final appearance of Jesus, and this one you have to think is for Peter. Right? Three times choosing no turns to three times claiming yes as Jesus asks him over and over again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And his answer is, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, you know everything, you know that I love you." In these final moments with Jesus, between Jesus and his disciples, Jesus shows us once again what it is all about. When you boil it all down, to love Jesus is to take care of God's people. You don't have to get it right every time. When you say yes to following Jesus, you will have a chance, one after another, encounter after encounter, to show your love for God by showing your love for other people. You don't even have to get it right the second or the third time, just ask Peter. Jesus' invitation stands each and every time. Follow me. Love me. Love my people. And then do it again. I don't know what exactly God experiences when we do that, when we do listen and take care of each other, but I hope it's something similar to what moms experience when people love our kids. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like it for me in the whole world than when someone helps take care of Riley. And most of the time it happens here, so thank you. Our mothers do so much for us. Women do so much for us. If we're going to take what following Jesus means seriously, and if loving Jesus means loving God's people, then for the love of God, love women. Believe them. Defend them. support them, elevate them, trust them, celebrate them, honor them. For the love of God, love women. Not just today, on this what we all know is a Hallmark holiday, not just today, but each and every day we take one more step in God's to be continued story, and each and every day take one more step towards loving women better. The good news is that God's story is still being worked out. It isn't over, but there is still work to be done. There are people and practices and policies that still need to be touched by God's redeeming love. We want all people to get to experience the fullness of God's love, the fullest expression of God's love. The good news is that the story isn't even close to being over. It's funny, the week that this whole passion took place for Jesus, it begins and it ends with Jesus breaking bread. You know, we focus on the cross and the resurrection that happens in the middle of that week, but sometimes I like to think about it mostly happening at the table. I don't know about you, but that's where I experience the most love and grace and community and forgiveness and fellowship. And aren't these all the promises that God has for us? The story isn't over. There still is work to be done. And I'm sure, like me, some of you are tired. Some of you moms, some of you women, some of you caretakers, some of you parents, some of you grandparents are tired. The good news is that this story also begins and ends with Jesus having exactly what we need. And when we come to this table, we find exactly what we need.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.